Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mapping the Culinary World. I am here with my lovely wife, Kaylee.
Hi, I'm back again.
Back again. Kaylee's with the Mapping Culinary World friends. Yeah. Everybody, she's got her Canadian flag.
Yeah,
even though she's not Canadian,
but, probably don't have any Canadian.
Yeah,
we're
aspirational
heritage.
Canadians,
yeah.
You know.
It's and a then, pipe dream.
Yeah, and then I got my little buddy Benny back here. Yeah, he's fun. If you're watching on video on YouTube,
you should
check us out on YouTube, podcast people, or check us out on the podcast if you're traveling or doing something where you can only listen to audio. Definitely, if you love our episodes, please share them across the interwebs. I try to do social media quite a bit, share those around. Obviously, I would love it if people would subscribe and follow and rate us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The ratings help a lot.
I know everyone says that, but
right.
It's true.
It is
like,
very
there's
true.
There's a reason people say it.
Yeah. So everybody do those things because Mapping the Culinary World has landed in Vanuatu. What do you know about Vanuatu?
I don't know anything.
Oh.
I don't know where it is.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Oh, no.
If you had told me this was a place, I probably wouldn't believe you.
Yeah?
Or like, maybe it's like from a show or something.
For some reason, I've heard the name, and so I would think it's like a city or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, either that or like a tribe of some kind, maybe. I'm not sure. But yeah, no, it's islands. Vanuatu. And that's American public education, everyone. It's great. But yeah, Vanuatu, it is located. We've got a fun little image from the CIA fact book. An aerial shot showing most of Vanuatu. It is officially the Republic of Vanuatu. And in French, it's République de Vanuatu. And Bislama, it's République Blanc Vanuatu. And is an island country located in the South Pacific Ocean. The archipelago, which is of volcanic origin, is 1,750 kilometers, which is about 1,090 miles east of Northern Australia. So it's 540 kilometers or 340 miles northeast of New Caledonia. East of New Guinea and southeast of the Solomon Islands and west of Fiji. So, island tropics, in a way.
Yeah.
At least southern Australian tropics, in a way. But yeah, their currency is the Vatu. Yeah, the Vanuatu Vatu.
I like the...
Yeah.
What's that word? Is it alliteration when it's like blue... banana or
the double yeah no it's always nice isn't it I don't know what it is I know what you're talking about though it might be alliteration I'm
I
not
graduated
sure.
from college
I
don't
know
right?
yeah we don't
what
know
that
that.
Word
yeah
is.
But yeah like a
like
bluebird
it.
And
yeah
Vanuatu Vatu
yeah
but yeah the notes once again colorful
yeah
there's some with the shells the security like swoosh
love
there's,
colorful money honestly
yeah what's America doing we need to get into the game man
yeah.
colorful money game then again I think the US dollar bill is the most like what do they call that counterfeited in the world whether it's from foreign countries or our own.
Well, they're all the same color. They're pretty much
right.
all the same format, except
right.
for who's in the center.
Yeah.
And, like, the amount.
Right.
That's, like, the only difference.
I know.
So, if they really wanted to step it up...
They could talk to Vanuatu.
They could look to other countries.
Vanuatu, we love your Vatus.
Yep.
And we think we need to copy them. Just maybe. Except add American things. Like, instead of the little seashell... I was going to say something very bad there. We could put a hamburger.
Add Mount Rainier. Add
an eagle.
A lobster.
Ooh, a lobster roll. A Maine lobster.
A, yeah. You know, a palm tree.
There we go. Like,
for the southeast and southwest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Come on.
Fancy money.
Hire me. I don't know who.
Somebody hire me for design.
Whoever designs money.
Yeah.
You should hire me.
And then their population for Vanuatu, which is a lot of different islands. It is, the 2020 estimate was 307,815. It's 181st. Mm, so very widespread, so to
speak.
That's
on the lower end, isn't it? That's like almost at the bottom.
It's not even half a million.
There's like 196 countries or something. So
So if you meet someone from Vanuatu, rare person to meet. That's what I would say.
I would think so.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of towns in the U.S., like cities, are 300,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
So very special people. And then you have land area here, as you can see on the islands. If you're watching YouTube, you'll see that they're widespread, islands, very similar to like Maldives that we,
like when you raise your hand up,
but when you kind of like, if you, I'm playing with the camera again, like that. Yeah. But like opposite.
Like, yeah, it's like you're raising your hand up. That's the shape of the chain.
Yeah, yeah. But no, yeah, very, very nice little set of chain of islands. It is 12,189 kilometers, square kilometers, or 4,706 square miles, which is 157th among countries. Official languages are Bislama, English, and French. This is a bit of Bislama, and I thought it was very interesting because it may be close to Jamaican because it is a pronunciation language. So everyone, I got right long, every right, mo freedom, we stop long declaration. See? So it's in a way, it's kind of like Jamaican. I'm trying to remember the language, what specifically they call it. But
what's a pronunciation language? I've never heard of that.
It is where basically the words are, the way that you say the words are exactly how you pronounce it. So like thank you, Biscuit. in Spanish or Italian, there's the tilde N, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like bagno or what have you.
Well, that's not Italian, but...
No, I'm just saying like Spanish, Latin.
Yeah, there's like the little...
Right. And, or like French.
Or German.
Right? Yeah, like in French you say Jacques, but it's J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
It's like Jacques.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, again. Oh, no. And we got our cat again. Our other cat now is checking in. We're gonna have to pause the thing, I'm pretty sure. Yep. Okay, everybody. We are back. Had to stop it and go again, and oh my gosh.
You don't even want to know what just happened. That it was like everything fell apart in seconds. Yeah.
Once again, Biscuit crashed the set, decided that he was just... He's as tactfully good with his paws as our other cat.
And he's so needy.
Right.
Like, when he wants attention, he won't...
He won't stop. He's gonna do this. And and by the way, if we shut the door, it's even worse.
Yeah.
He just claws the bottom of the door and starts screaming. Now he's going over to his brother. He's probably going to start fighting. Oh, there we go. Here we go. Another eventful day in the studio. Mapping the culinary world. We are still in Vanuatu, everybody. We were talking about the language, and it's a pronunciation language. Yeah. So basically, it, kind of like French, they say Jacques. but there's like silent letters and things that you're having to watch out for. God almighty, they're still fighting back here. And they're just so dumb. Anyway, but yeah, so interesting language. Good old Bislama. So yeah, there they go.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. The consummate professional. that's what this is. Oh, man.
There you they know, go. We're trying to do a good thing here by showing.
Yeah.
Yeah. showing these different countries.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
giving exposure.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I don't think she's going to make it through, everybody. She can't.
It's okay. Please keep going.
Please keep going. All right. Well,
I'll get it together in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. The capital city of Vanuatu is Portavia. Yeah, Portavia. Look at pretty Portavia. Looks very, very nice this time of year, we'll say. And yeah, it is also the largest city for Vanuatu. Yeah. You think Portavia is very hilarious? No?
Oh, no, okay. It looks very nice.
It does?
Yeah. The water looks beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks great.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, boy.
This is not the best time to have. I don't laugh this hard usually, but when I do, it's very hard to stop. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with Vanuatu.
Yeah. Poor Benny. He was just trying to sleep. And then Biscuit comes in, crashes the cameras, starts jumping up on the bed, starts fights.
Chaotic.
Yeah.
He should be on reality TV or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We might have like a real cat house of whatever, you know? Yeah. He would get a lot of airtime. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. Interesting quotes about Vanuatu. Vanuatu's etymology, so the actual, you know, basically words and how they are formed. Vanuatu's name derives from the word vanua, or land or home, which occurs in several Austronesian languages, combined with the word tu, meaning to stand. So tukur. Is the Pacific Ocean type of language. Together, the two words convey the independent status of the country. So Vanuatu declares independence. And then I don't know how if it's Mar or it's Martin, Troost, he wrote, and I think this guy might be controversial.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure. The second search under this guy is J. Martin Troost wife.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if it's just people are interested in who his wife is.
Well,
or
usually,
it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. He says a lot of stuff. And the name of his book is Getting Stoned with Savages, A Trip Through the Islands of Fiji and Vanuatu.
I don't know if that's the word you want to use.
Yeah, and then his other book was about their sex lives throughout, like, islands and things. But he has a ton of quotes about Vanuatu, obviously.
He's freaky.
Yeah, might be. He's just researching it. You know, he might be a culture guy. He just wants to figure out cultures. But anyway.
No comment.
He said, paradise was always over there, a day's sail away. But it's a funny thing, escapism. You can go far and wide and you can keep moving on and on through places and years, but you never escape your own life. I finally knew where my life belonged, home, which was Vanuatu. Yeah, or Fiji, one of the two. So, yeah. That was what he called Vanuatu. And, you know, being isolated on those islands, I am sure you definitely get a kind of like secluded, we are in this only kind of thing from there, you know, t- type of vibe. Same with, I know some people call it like islanditis or something like that if you live in Hawaii and you're kind of like, yeah, we're on these islands in the middle of the ocean. Like, we're not on a land, you know, a big continent where we can go and travel to multiple states or other countries. Like, we are isolated. We are by ourselves. And so you kind of gather around that.
Yeah, I've kind of thought about that, actually, just randomly. You know, because you watch videos of, like, people who live in Hawaii or they live on a smaller island or whatever. And it's cool, but it's also, like, you start to think, could I actually live somewhere like that in terms of growing up and living how I have been? Like, in the lower 48 or whatever. And just how it's just the way of life for people. Like, it's not even a big deal.
Yeah.
But then
it's where family is. That's where.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have survived and lived and thrived for probably thousands of years just fine. But then, you know, you just think about it in terms of like how you live right now.
Right.
It's kind of like, oh, could I really, I don't know.
Yeah. It's
it was kind of a little rant, or not a rant, like
a trailing
musing,
thought.
But so it's, I guess it's interesting that that's a thing, islanditis, or whatever, like,
they call it, you know, kind of like, kind of like cabin fever, you know, you feel like you're just stuck in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would start to feel like that.
Yeah.
If I lived on an island.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it depends on how much you actually travel. You know, if you when you grow up on the lower 48 states, it's one of those things where it's like if you travel, crossing a state boundary isn't that big of a deal. And you kind of do it often if you've got to visit family that are in other states or what have you. But if all your family are on the island of Hawaii and you don't travel much off of your island, like you don't go to Maui or Kauai or any of those other things, it might just be like, this is my home. Right. This is all I've ever known. Like, what, you know? So it just depends. But I'm guessing like Vanuatu and some of these other Maldives, you know, I bet they island hop quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I would think. Or but I don't know.
Maybe not. And that's fine too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just figuring out the influences on their cuisine. Nope, that's me. So, yeah, their influences of their cuisine. This is from hootholidays.com.au, so Australia, going over the local cuisine of Vanuatu. Every time you go out to eat during Vanuatu holiday, you'll be served up a slice of culture and history. The local cuisine in Vanuatu tells part of the country's story and reflects on the many cultural influences of the islands. The local restaurants serve up an eclectic range of cooking styles that reflect thousands of years of immigration by combining influences from Europe, Asia, and Melanesia.
That's not a...
Or Melanesia? I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. The diverse multicultural flavors mean you'll be spoilt for choice when eating in Vanuatu, even the fussiest of eaters. At its heart, Vanuatu's cuisine is simple and wholesome. With plenty of fresh produce and organic meat, the international influences are tempered by the island lifestyle, so you can look forward to lots of coconut cream, rice, and tropical fruit. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And the first one here, definitely your type of island lifestyle. We've got the coconut crab.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's a big boy, the coconut
crab.
Yeah,
it looks really scary.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of looks like a spider.
Right.
Like a tarantula, and I kind of want you to hurry up.
Well,
but I know it's not a spider.
Yeah.
I just
a crab.
Yeah.
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 What I've always seen with these coconut crabs, I don't know if it's Hawaii or if it's another island. Could be like, I don't know. It could be like Puerto Rico or Cuba or something. I know it's an island that has coconut crabs. They get on like trash dumpsters and stuff like that. And people, and they're huge, they're massive. And so people will try to like open it and they'll feel this heavy weight. And it's like on the other side of the trash can. And when they lift it up, they're like, whoa, like this. And they hang out on trees. And, but no, they're, the reason why they're called, if I may say it in our little description here, so I won't say anything, but although its name is suggestive of a coconut infused dish, coconut crab is actually a species of hermit crab that lives in the Vanuatu archipelago. So yeah, it is
a hermit crab.
It's a type of hermit crab. And hermit crabs are rinky dinky. Yeah. They're not very big. But yeah, considered a delicacy in Vanuatu, the crab came to be known as coconut crab because coconuts are one of the primary sources of food for this decapod crustacean. It also feeds on other types of food, including tropical fruits and decaying animal carcasses, among others.
And trash.
Yeah. And garbage. Yeah, no, apart from being the largest land crab on the planet, this crab has also been found to have the strongest grip as well.
Ooh.
The crab is known to shed the outer layer and experience hardening of its entire body through recalcification. Coconut crabs do not have a recognizable shell coloring and can be found in various colors, such as dark purple, vibrant blue, orange-red, brown, or even a mix of yellow, red, and blue shades. Notorious for their habit of stealing pots and pans, as well as other household items, these crabs are commonly dubbed robber crabs. Threatened of going extinct due to over-harvesting, coconut crabs may live well over 50 years, and they typically live a solitary life, hiding in crevices or burrows.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's sad that they're...
They're like,
numbers are dwindling.
Yeah.
Even though they're creepy and they scare me.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
But no, that's how they figured out that they have like one of the strongest grips is because of the food they eat. The coconut. Yeah. They can literally crack a coconut.
Yeah, that's kind of terrifying. Claws. Like, you don't want that thing to snap your hand.
No.
You know, if you're opening up the garbage or whatever.
Right.
And that's actually really funny. That they take pots and pans.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that video we saw the other day. It was a ferret.
Yeah.
And it was this person, it was like ranking all the things that this ferret was grabbing and dragging by the mouth. So it started off with like a slipper. So it's like, okay, that's, you know, that's simple enough. And then it like gradually increased to like a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
And then like a ring light like that
on
goes on the floor.
Yeah.
So not a little one.
Practically a lamp.
Yeah.
Like it's
like a studio
man.
Light.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just made me think of that. Like
smaller
little creatures just dragging this heavy, big stuff.
Well, and it's like not a coconut crab, but regular crabs. I see GIFs and videos all the time of them with knives. Like, they have a knife, and they're, like, kind of shuffling around. So, like, imagine this thing with a knife. You're just like, dude, no.
I'd move.
Like, yeah.
If I lived here, I'd move.
Yeah, I'm out. Like, I'm done.
Done.
Like, ugh. But the next one here, it is a rather sad-looking fish. It is the pollet fish.
Yeah, but it's pretty.
It is a pretty fish, it's but like they both look like they're like, we got caught.
Yeah, they're like, we're dead.
Yeah, we got caught. Yeah. We're dead. But it is a variety of local snapper from Vanuatu that is praised for its unique flavor, said to be reminiscent of chicken. That is most certainly the reason why this fish was given the name pollet fish, which translates to chicken fish in French. The deep water fish is large and meaty with a pinkish red color and firm white flesh. Considered a fish delicacy, pollet fish is usually prepared soon after it has been caught, either whole or filleted, and due to its firm flesh, the fish lends itself to a plethora of cooking techniques, such as grilling, pan frying, baking, or steaming. Typical accompaniments include creamy sauces, roasted or mashed potatoes, fries, scallops, vegetables, and a glass of wine or a cold beer on the side. Pollet fish is available in restaurants across the islands of Vanuatu, and its typical chicken-like flavor appeals to tourists and locals alike.
I'm all for it.
I know, right? Like, that's, I mean...
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Like, why?
And it's not even one of those things where people are like, it tastes like chicken when it's like frog or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something weird.
I don't know. Right. And not to scare those who might be going through some COVID scares... We've got the next thing on Vanuatu, and this may not be something that typical American palates are going after, maybe. But it is the Vanuatu flying fox. I think we would more normally call them a bat.
Yeah.
Looks like a bat. Yeah. The white flying fox is endemic to Vanuatu. It has big, well-developed eyes. Yeah, they look like big, and oval ears without a tragus. The bat primarily feeds. See, they even say the bat. The bat primarily feeds on fruits and nectar. When used in cooking, flying fox is mostly used in the national dish of Vanuatu called lap lap. Yeah. So, I've got a feeling you're living on the island and eating this. Which, by the way, these three that I just listed off, it is from our great friend Taste Atlas. So, it's, you know, one of those things that they have gone through and, yeah. But no, I will say, they say it's more rare or less common now. The people who say that are basically the people at 196flavors.com going over Vanuatu or Let's Travel More. They both state that with Lop Lop anyways, that people are moving more towards more like westernized type of meats, right? So yeah,
that's one of those things. It's like you don't want to infringe on what their tradition is.
Mm-hmm.
Like
they're on an island.
Yeah.
Like,
and
yeah,
people do what they have to do.
Right.
But then on the other end too, it, you know, certain things do cause issues.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like certain organs, like,
yeah,
can cause severe illnesses or whatever, like, that you want to avoid.
Right.
So it's one of those tricky things.
Yeah. Well, it's like they were saying, bats for a long time, and COVID-19, they latched on to bats, you know, with meat markets and things, which, like they were saying, it, more than likely, there's a lot of different things that have gone on since then that it's like it could have been a bat, it could not have been, who knows. The main thing is that they do carry a lot of diseases that are not harmful to them, but are incredibly harmful to us, and they usually don't jump, you know, from animal to human being very often, but they can if you're eating them.
Right.
And it's like, oh, geez. So, yeah. But I'm sure the flying fox, when had, they, I'm sure they probably know of ones if they're ill or not doing well or have a certain whatever. But yeah, the flying fox. The next one here, a little bit more to the regular palated folks. You got citrus baked fish and coconut cream. Yeah, this healthy Vanuatuan dish is prepared with a whole fish, lemon and orange slices, coconut cream, salt and pepper. The lemon and orange slices are neatly layered on top of the fish, which is then drizzled over with coconut cream and seasonings. The whole concoction is then wrapped tightly in several banana leaves and baked until the fish is so tender that the meat falls off the bones. It is recommended to serve the dish with salads, rice, or plantains on the side.
I wonder if the coconut cream is kind of sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine.
So it's kind of like a sweet, citrusy fish. Huh.
Yeah. And once again, sad fish face.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I've been caught.
Once they've been killed or have died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's game over.
It is.
Why would you be smiling? Or
you know, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you're not going to have like a happy
especially
expression.
If your time comes to an end sooner than you expect. Right. It's like, this is how it ends.
Munching on mosquitoes and other weird things. And then what do you know? Hook or net.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
And, poor little fishies. Yeah. But the next one here, the Vanuatuan dish, Lop Lop. Or lap lap is the national dish of Vanuatu, made by pounding various roots such as taro, yam, or breadfruit. Our old friend breadfruit.
Yeah, breadfruit.
Yeah, into a dough, which is cooked in an underground oven called uma with wild spinach leaves, which that's what the basil looking leaves are. is the wild spinach. I didn't know what those were, but that's what they are. Coconut cream and pieces of chicken, pork, or corned beef. And as we know, flying fox, possibly. Leaves from the loplop plant are usually wrapped around the whole concoction and tied with vine strands. After about 3 hours, loplop is ready to be consumed, preferably served hot and eaten as soon as possible. Yeah.
Can we go back to breadfruit?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a really cool band name.
Mm.
You know, there's that one weird song, Bread Fan.
Is it Bread Fan?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah. Like Metallica did a cover or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I like breadfruit.
Right.
More than Bread Fan. More than
Yeah. So just breadfruit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's cake, right? There's, is there a band called Bread?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 From like the 70s or something.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a band called Toast.
Probably.
Yeah. And then there's got to be a band named after fruit.
Well,
you know.
I'm just saying, if it's not taken already, if I ever start a band, it's going to be called Breadfruit.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be, well, what if it's like a pop band type of thing? Still breadfruit?
Duh.
Okay, all right.
It's going to be a K-pop group called Breadfruit.
Wow.
Okay?
Do you even know what breadfruit is in Korean? Yeah, that's something to research. Something to research. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Fine, I'll do an American group.
Well, I'm just saying.
Because I know, like, that word.
I'm just saying. Like, you got to watch out for that kind of stuff. Because I don't know. I'm guessing bread is something pretty, you know, mundane. But
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. That's why we go on to desserts.
Yay.
Yeah. Kaylee's drinking her dessert right now.
This isn't my dessert.
This is
just coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had s'mores earlier.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a Vanuatu dessert, but you know, that's what we had today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what I'd bring to the island.
Yep.
Yeah. But this right here in front of us is Vanuatu coconut cake. So, yeah, had to see that coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
This simple cake is made with only a few ingredients, freshly grated coconut, flour, sugar, eggs, and butter. The mixture is baked until golden brown in color, and the light, delicate cake can be consumed immediately.
I've said this a billion times. I'll continue to say it.
Yep.
The simpler something is,
the better.
Sometimes the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, coconut cake, yeah, you don't have to do too much to it. Add some pineapple on there.
Mm. Or like cherries or something. Yeah.
Throw some Cool Whip with some pineapple and some cherries.
Yeah. Fruity Express.
Oh, man. Yeah. Speaking of Fruity Express, we're at 196flavors.com. Their Vanuatu Mango Ice Cream.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I don't even have a description here.
No,
you don't need
one. It speaks for itself.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. Mango ice cream. And it is ice cream.
Good.
It's not sorbet. It is ice cream.
I think either way it'd be good.
I know. Yeah, I think either way it'd be pretty dang good.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And then going to drinks, we've got Kava drink. Yeah.
We've in Singapore.
Singapore. Yeah.
I did that episode.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Right. Yeah. Kava is a local drink, and it's by far the most common and celebrated drink on the islands. The drink is made from the root of the plant, which is delicately processed and delivered by grounding the roots. I bet they meant grinding. Well, grounding the roots to extract.
Grounding
No, it just says grounding the roots to extract the juice. I think they mean grind. But I don't know. The water is then added to the juice, after which it is consumed. Kava drink can be very potent, so it's advisable to take it in moderation. It's known to induce up to 2 days sleep and can numb the tongue for several hours or day.
Oh my gosh.
Kava is one of the top drinks when you're talking or taking part in festivals and cultural events on the islands. Since it's made locally, it is cheap to acquire and offers an opportunity for fun and to try something very unique only to the South Pacific.
Are you sure? Wait, was this in Singapore?
It was in a former episode, because when I heard Kava, I was like,
that's Hawaii.
Might be Hawaii. Yeah, it might be Hawaii, maybe. So United Foods of America. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I have a really bad short-term memory.
I don't. Yeah, if it helps you, I don't remember it. Like, of which one. Okay, I just know I've heard of Kava before.
The only reason I, like, remembered that is because, okay, I'm going to throw it out there. I play The Sims. Uh-huh. That's, like, the extent of my gaming other than Mario games. But in The Sims, they have, like, a island pack, so kind of based off like Hawaii and other Pacific islands and stuff, and they have a thing called a kava bowl, and so you make this. I did not know, though, it could make you sleep for up to 2 days.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, that would make your tongue numb.
Yeah, that like, is what? Insane.
Yeah. But yeah, and if you're like, well, I don't think I want to try your Vanuatuan moonshine, you can have beer.
Nice.
Yeah. Beer is popular in Vanuatu, even though it is mostly imported from neighboring countries, including New Zealand and Australia. The most popular beer in Vanuatu is the local Tusker beer. To be sincere, it is a refreshing and tasty option for anyone, especially during the summer. The beer is available in a number of varieties, including Tusker Lemon, Tusker OP, Tusker Bitter, and of course, the main Tusker Premium. You'll find this beer everywhere, including in hotel bars and restaurants, tourist resorts, local bars, and other places where people gather to have fun. Men and women can enjoy the drink, and it offers the most satisfying taste for an evening on the Vanuatu Islands.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've noticed beer is like a very common thing in pretty much all the countries that we've gone through so far.
Yeah. In a lot of island countries, because people who sailed there, beer was the only safe thing to drink.
Oh.
The water was not safe to drink.
Huh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so they were like, how did you get this drink? And then some guy would have to say in Bislam, you know, they'd be like, it's beer.
Yeah.
It has alcohol. You're going to get drunk. And they're like, oh, we have kava.
I bet that would go really well with that fish.
Yes.
That tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Polet fish. Or pole. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. It would go very good with the deep sea fish. The next one here, tea. Yeah. Another you got to have
very
tea. Yeah. Very prominent.
One.
Yeah. You'll find options for drinking tea in Vanuatu. Most people like to take their tea in the morning. So if you can ask the hotel staff for a cup to start up your day, unfermented green tea is one of the best options you can ask for in these islands. Also, there is the fact fish tea, which is equally very popular and has become a sensation among the local communities. In Vanuatu, tea is sometimes taken for health reasons, but many people prefer to take in the morning along with their breakfast.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting, guys. Kind of interesting. But yeah. So, and then obviously we got to figure out, how do we get to Vanuatu so that we can have some flying fox, some lap lap, some beer, some tea, some mango ice cream,
coconut crab.
Yeah, some coconut crab.
Get in a fight with a coconut crab.
Yeah, getting the citrus fish and coconut cream.
Fight a flying fox.
Yeah, yeah. How do we get there? So, one, you're going to fly. But obviously,
I mean, you could go on a boat, but
nobody, nobody in the world, even Australia or New Zealand, they're like, we don't boat to Vanuatu. We don't do that.
I'm just saying, you technically could.
I mean, if
as
you had your own boat,
as long as everything was in place,
right? You had your own boat.
Yeah, and
I googled it. Nobody boats to Vanuatu. Nobody. Oh. I'm kidding, of course. I didn't Google it.
I swear.
You could boat to Vanuatu. From what I understand, you should be able
Shame on you.
But yeah, if you had your own boat, you could do that as well. Because what's his name said it was a sail away, a day sails away, right? But your trip to Vanuatu, one, long distance
very
here.
Far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very long distance. The average price of a weekend, three-day trip to Port Vila, Vanuatu, is $713 for the solo traveler and $1,212 for a couple and about $1,568 for a family of four, says the tripcost.com. Traveling cheap to Port Vila, they are saying the cheapest trip is about $428 per person per day for travelers willing to limit travel expenses. Like a hostel in Port Vila Center is $21 to $26 a night. Mm. Oh boy. Two-star hotels are more likely to be available. The metro, the ticket for the bus or metro will cost you $1.
Nice.
Yeah. But cheap trips, or it says cheap treeps,
must
be planned 2 to 3 months beforehand. Budget for daily cost of living in Vanuatu, it says here that it'll cost about $39 per person. A nice meal is about $11. That's how they budget for these things.
No, they're saying in Paris, a nice
right. So
meal
in Port Vila,
is about 39. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
They're comparing.
And then they're comparing the two. Yeah, 1 kilometer of taxi in Port Vila is $2, while the public transport, obviously, it's $1. So
yeah,
if you want your own car, you're gonna have to buck up another buck. All right. yeah, if you're gonna live that way,
we have everything here. We got jokes. We have. Yeah. Technical difficulties. We got cats fighting. It's awesome.
It's great here.
We got a grown woman who can't stop crying. She's laughing so hard. Yeah.
It's wonderful time.
Culinary Combo.
Culinaryconvo.com. Thank you. But yeah, the next one here, you can see kind of the mess that has been left here. And this is one of the reasons why I had to pipe up a little bit. One, the flight to Vanuatu. Via kayak.com. I'm going to let it load, but while it loads, they have had a lot of what we would call tsunami, hurricane, weather events.
Yeah, I
They've
bet.
Had a lot of things. The last major one was in 2015. It was very devastating. But from Portland PDX to Port Vila in Vanuatu, the best flight is 1,642, and it's 25 hours, or the cheapest is 1,562, and it's 31 hours. Now, the quickest, if it, money is no object, the quickest flight will save you an hour and 32 minutes, so an hour and a half, and you will pay an extra, like, $500, $2,181.
This is one of those places, kind of like with Singapore.
Right.
You have to...
You got to exchange. You got
to... It might make more sense to, like, be in one place for a bit right. and then go to another place near it and then... Yeah. So that you're not spending almost, like, a day, a literal day and a half
yeah.
on an airplane.
Yeah. Because on this one, the first one here, the best flight, you go from LAX in LA to Nadi. And then from Nadi to Port Vila.
And it just truly depends where you're starting from.
Right. It is, yeah. If you're in Japan, going anywhere in the South Pacific is usually not too hard, too difficult. Interestingly enough, I'm sure many a people, if they wanted to go to Vanuatu, they're probably going from New Zealand or Australia, if I had to bet. Either that or Philippines, Indonesia, that kind of thing. But the last note of interest, going over Vanuatu and its history, in March 2015, however, Vanuatu suffered a severe setback to its development when Cyclone Pam, a Category 5 highest intensity tropical cyclone, struck the islands. It wreaked devastation across the archipelago, including the island of Efate and Port Vila on it, which had just completed rebuilding from a 2002 earthquake that had greatly damaged the town's infrastructure. The storm, which reached wind speeds of up to 185 miles per hour, which is 300 kilometers an hour, flattened buildings throughout the island, destroyed crops, caused loss of life, and left thousands of people homeless.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. growing up in tornado country, 185 miles an hour. Whoa.
That is
a lot.
That's worse than pretty much most hurricanes. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a rough one.
You know, it's sad wherever it happens.
Yeah.
But especially when you don't know about it.
Right.
You know, yeah. We know about Haiti.
Right.
We know about, yeah. Where was that? I think Indonesia.
Yeah.
That tsunami in 2005. Like, you know about those things, but I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But to get it on a lighter side, via tourismvanuatu.com, they have some amazing facts. One of which is that there is a Tana Island tribe that worships Prince Philip.
Oh.
Yep. Beginning with a visit to Vanuatu by the Queen and Duke in 1974, the Prince Philip movement worships Prince Philip, believing he is a descendant of a spiritual ancestor from Tana, a war canoe paddler who greeted the royal yacht Britannia in Port Vila during the 1974 visit, became convinced that Prince Philip was the true Messiah and thus began the movement, which actually now has its own Facebook page. Since then, Prince Philip has actually exchanged gifts with the tribe, including a signed portrait.
I have two things to say.
Mm-hmm.
One, I wonder what, if anything, has changed since he has died.
Right. Yeah.
Because that was, what, last year?
Yeah.
I think that was last year.
Yeah, last year.
It's like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then two, you know, I like to say, as long as it's not hurting anybody or causing harm to others or themselves, they can do what they want.
It's great.
Well, it's just kind of odd.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things, like,
you know, when you hear something, you're like, who would do that? Or, you
right.
know, why right. is someone doing it? Well, it's like,
yeah.
Okay. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't do it, but if they're happy and it doesn't hurt anyone, then okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yep.
What?
I'm just saying. They're,
I'm just saying.
I mean, you know, yeah. I'm, you know, like you said, I want to know what's going on now that old Princey P is not, you know,
I wonder
with us
if,
any longer.
You yeah. know, has his, like, spirit gone to someone else?
On the, yeah, maybe.
Or is it over, you know?
I don't
like,
know.
What?
I don't know. Maybe they think it's transferring over to young little George.
Yeah. Is that his name?
The one
there's
that...
George, there's Louis, and there's Charlotte.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
There's Lilibet.
Lilibet.
And then a lot of others, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But moving on from the worshipping of Prince Philip.
You make me feel weird that I said that.
We've got Vanuatu invented bungee jumping.
Oh, nice.
That's right. Yeah. On the small Vanuatu island of Pentecost, when the yam crop begins to emerge in early April, locals build wooden towers between 20 to 30 meters high. Until the end of May, village boys and men perform the ritual known as Nangol. Diving from these rickety wooden structures with nothing but vines tied to their ankles, considered the precursor to bungee jumping.
Wow.
The tradition has been documented by many TV and filmmakers, including Nat Geo. Yeah.
As long as it's not hurting anybody.
I've got a feeling that, I mean, obviously somebody's been injured or hurt or done
yes.
something, but... I wonder if anybody, like, they're like, listen, I get it. We do this as, like, a rite of passage, but guys, this one vine, like, I picked it, and I don't think it's a very strong vine. And they're like, Ted, shut up.
Ted.
You got to wrap it around. Let's go. And then that was the vine. Yeah. Yeah. The straw that broke the camel's back, that would be the vine that made the Vinawatuan no longer, right? Like, that is kind of how that would work. But no, I remember seeing, I think what they talk about, like, TV and filmmakers, I remember seeing a clip of this somewhere, of them jumping off of this, and that was kind of the thing, was that it was like, it's not like a bungee where it, like, kind of extract, like, it makes you bounce, but basically, like, it would go taut, and then you would go back up against the wooden structure, and they would grab the structure, and that was, like, what they did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those, like, whoa. I don't know if I would be gutsy enough to do
it. I could not do that.
Yeah, that's a woo. But even on a happier note, compared to the two boys that are fighting outside the room, Vanuatu is the fourth happiest country in the world.
Wow.
And so just to state this, this is the fourth happiest country. So not the typical happy ranking that, like, some of the, like, Denmark is, that that's kind of more of like a satisfaction scale because of economy and all those kinds of things. But every summer, the Happy Planet Index ranks 140 destinations around the world on what matters most: sustainable well-being for all. The GDP takes a back seat, and instead, this annual release judges how well nations are achieving long, happy, and sustainable lives. Mm. It sounds complicated, but it's not. What it really comes down to is this. Vanuatu is ranked the fourth happiest destination in the world behind Costa Rica, Mexico, and Colombia.
Wow.
Yeah. And let me tell you, the last two, Mexico and Colombia, I think a lot of people would say, are you sure about that happiness part? Like, there's a lot.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, cartels. But at the same time, there's a lot of folks that are like, yeah, no, like, Mexico, it's great to live there. It's purely the economy. Like, nobody has any money to get some things or to do whatever, but they're happy where they're at. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different factors that go into a person's happiness. And some people prioritize certain things compared to others.
Yeah.
And I bet they're the fourth highest because not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
although I'm sure tourism is, you know,
there,
like, a big thing for their country, you know, historically there's been a lot of issues with other countries or other people going into like smaller, you know, less, I don't know what a good word would be, but like
westernized.
Less
westernized countries. So. Yeah. And especially with Vanuatu, they do have a, it seems like a touch of the, we're not going to completely conform to some of the stuff that's coming from Australia or from New Zealand. Like, we're going to live the life that we have because we're at where we're at, right?
Like, it's kind of like the uncontacted tribes.
Yeah.
Like in Brazil and in that area. It's like, just leave them alone.
Yeah.
Let them do what they want to do.
Yeah. Especially after a 2002 earthquake and a cyclone. Sounds like that island, like, yeah, man, they're bracing for stuff. And so, yeah, tough thing, especially since they're so happy. They're so happy.
Like, we should help them.
Yeah.
If we can, and if they want it,
if
they want help. But
if anybody from Vanuatu wants to send me an email at culinaryconvopod at gmail.com.
We would love to know more.
I would love to know
really
more.
Would.
Like I said, the population there, rare people. Like, you know, oh, I'm from Vanuatu. What?
Yeah. Really? I had never heard of your country before, but
sounds amazing.
Now that I know a little bit more, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then we go from Vanuatu to another island nation, one that is a lot more prevalent to today, New Zealand.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. New Zealand.
It's neighbor.
Yeah, it's neighbor down south. Yeah, New Zealand, very popular since the whole COVID thing went around the world. They did it so well.
I think even before that, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful there too.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. The name, I don't know if it's New Zealand, but basically the Maori name for New Zealand, whatever that may be, it stands for, what is it? It's like long, white, floating island, something like that. Yeah. So even like the Maori tribes that were there, they basically were like, yeah, this place is pretty special. Like, this is a very special place.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. Like, pretty cool. So, yeah. But no, we will see everybody next time on Mapping the Culinary World in New Zealand. And I just thank Kaylee for coming on and surviving the traumatic experience of our cat.
I thank you for putting up with me. you know, I could not contain myself.
Yeah.
I just started laughing. I couldn't stop. You know, I know it's not very like professional.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, we'll let it go because it's just one of those things. Like, Biscuit, I think that today he was the most unprofessional.
He chose violence today.
Yeah. He was the most unprofessional out of everybody. So if anybody's getting a suspension or terminated.
I promise, I want to learn more about these places and the food and everything. But then these things come up while we're doing this.
I know.
It gets so distracting.
It does. It's
But thanks for letting me learn more and and letting me be a part of it.
Yeah.
Tears and laughter, I'm sure
Vanuatu appreciates you coming on and learning more along with me. And with all of our listeners, all of our Convenauts, once again, share the episode, like, follow, subscribe, go to our social medias, check out our TikToks, definitely, and definitely start going to our Pinterest. I want to start a Pinterest email newsletter that at the end of these episodes, we're going to start making little Pinterest folders of recipes of the things that we have.
That's cool.
Yeah, everybody.
I don't even know about this, so this is cool.
Do it. Subscribe.
All the socials, all the videos, all the podcast platforms.
Give us stars.
Do it all.
Post about it. That's how these things
get spread
around. Dedicate
your life to culinary convo.
Right. Actually, don't listen to her. She's into cult stuff. So don't. She's into the study of cults.
I want to avoid them.
She wants to avoid them. This is not a cult. I am purely just trying to educate folks.
We don't make
Vanuatu
enough off of this.
Right. To be a cult. But if we got to that point,
we could be the next cult documentary.
I hope not. But anyway, we'll see everybody next time in New Zealand. Thank you again, Kaylee.
Bye.
We'll see you in New Zealand, everybody. NZ, New Zealand, everybody. Let's fly to New Zealand. It's going to take like 20-some-odd hours. Yeah.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Ream, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.